Well, Fusion, excited to get to our teaching time. Before I do, as Jill mentioned, in 2 weeks, we're not meeting because of the Super Bowl, which was a surprise to me because I was pretty sure that they canceled the Super Bowl after the Cowboys lost last week. I thought they were like, we're just not going to have it, but apparently we're still going to have it. So I don't know who's going to watch that thing, but
I won't.
Also, many of you know my wife, Blake, here. Blake is pregnant with our son Shepherd. I know, shock, right? She's pregnant with our son Shepherd, and his due date is in a couple of weeks. But there may be, he may come a little bit early. We don't know. But if I'm not here next week, no, it's because Shep came, and so I'll be home with Blake and Shepherd and our daughter Austin. But excited for my boy to get here sometime soon. We are continuing tonight in our series, Small Things, Big Difference, where we're looking at changes that we can make in our lives that are going to result in a different way of living. Last week, Tom taught us about changes we can make in our prayer lives, and tonight I'm speaking on things we can do to improve our physical health and to maintain healthy lives. Now listen, I do not stand up here before you as the expert on physical health. Why would you laugh, Levi? That wasn't one of the jokes from tonight's talk. Not an expert. I'd be lying to you if I claimed that I was. Very few people have seen my eating, sleeping, exercise, workout habits and been like, wow, Bo, you are very impressive. Teach me your ways, please. The Bo Flores diet is something that for most of my life I haven't been super proud of. I also have a family trait that I carry. You see, we Flores are notorious for jumping in wholeheartedly to diets and workout plans without really thinking through what we're committing ourselves to, only to crash and burn in epic, epic proportions. For example, several years ago, I was having a restless night, and so I got on my phone and opened up Netflix, as you do, and began watching Netflix while laying in bed. And at the time, I began to watch the documentary Sick, Fat, and Nearly Dead about the gentleman who was very unhealthy and began a juicing cleanse for himself and got on a juicing diet and got in very good shape and got very healthy, and all of his sicknesses went away. And I was like, I need a juicing cleanse in my life right now. Like, I woke up so excited. I woke up Blake early, like, Blake, guess what? She's like, what? I'm like, we're doing a juicing fast. And she's like, what? I'm like, we're doing it. That night, I went to the grocery store and I spent $300 on vegetables. The cashier was literally like, I have never seen this many vegetables purchased at one time. And I'm like, I know. I'm healthy, right? Like, get on my level, dude. It was going to be a three-day juicing cleanse. Was going to be. Foreshadowing. A three-day juicing cleanse. Morning of day one, I have my first juice of the day, and I feel great, mostly because of the shot of sugar straight to my bloodstream from that morning juice. I'm like, juicing is the best! You know, feeling really good about it. I have my afternoon juice. I come home for my lunch juice. I got my juicer making a mess all over my kitchen. And Blake is in our living room eating one of the sweet potatoes that was supposed to be in the juice. And she just literally looks up at me and just goes, I'm out. And continued eating. I was like, it's lunch on day one. All done. Yeah, all done. I'm like, well, I'm going on without you. So I made my little lunch juice and made my afternoon juice. And that night I came home from my dinner juice and I was over it. Just over it. And so I was like, okay, all right, we're still going to do the juicing thing, but maybe we'll just have like a really, really, really healthy dinner with like just some chicken and some vegetables and like a little bit of rice and like some bread. And like I listed like 10 things that we then proceeded to eat for dinner, but I was still going to juice. Fusion, long story short, I ended day one of my three-day juice cleanse at 9 o'clock at night, driving through McDonald's for a hot fudge sundae and french fries. This is not a lie. All those vegetables went so bad in my fridge, I threw them all away. I've learned that I don't do well with drastic, sudden, big changes in my physical life. In fact, it's funny that I'm preaching in a series called Small Things, Big Difference, when for most of my life, my physical health, you could call it big things, small differences, right? But we're here to talk about some small changes we can make that will make a big difference. See, I do better when I make manageable, small changes that can be followed through on for longer stretches of time. And tonight we're going to talk about some manageable changes that we can make to our physical lives that are going to result in deeper, more meaningful walks with Jesus. Would you pray with me? Jesus, we just lift up the next few moments together. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us now. God, we recognize that our bodies are a gift from you that you have given us and entrusted to us, and we want to honor you with how we live. Speak tonight, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. You guys can grab your bulletin. There's some notes to fill in and some verses that we're going to read. Now, to be honest, the Bible doesn't really have a lot of sections where it discusses and commands us to eat healthy food and to exercise regularly. The truth is, those things weren't a super big concern at the time of the Bible's writing. There weren't a lot of processed fast food that was available in biblical days. You know, pulling over the camel for a McFalafel wasn't really something that people did. Regular people didn't need to schedule in jogging and lifting weights in their lives because most of their lives were spent exerting physical energy. People walked everywhere they went. They carried heavy things by hand. There wasn't this culture of laziness and excess that we find in our world today. But what the Bible does do, however, is draw a clear line between our physical bodies and our spiritual lives. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 through 20, Paul says this: "Don't you realize that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, who lives in you and was given to you by God? You do not belong to yourself, for God bought you with a high price. So you must honor God with your body." Now, the context of this passage is that the people in the church in Corinth, they were choosing all sorts of sin, in particular sexual sin. And Paul says here that you can't just do whatever you want with your body and not have it impact your spiritual life. You see, Christ paid a high price for you, so honor him with your body. And the principle is true for us today. You can't just misuse your body and not have it affect your spiritual life. Your physical health and your spiritual health are connected. And it never fails to be true in my own life. When I am exercising and eating well, I suddenly seem to have more energy to put towards the spiritual practices that keep me healthy. Daily Bible reading, journaling, prayer. And when I fail to take care of myself physically, when I'm eating poorly, when I'm not exercising, when I'm not sleeping and resting like I should, my spiritual disciplines always slip. And I am so much more prone to fall into temptation and sin that I tend to avoid when I'm resting and taking care of my body. Here's the unfortunate truth. We don't drift into physical health. You decide on it. But to be honest, I don't think we really drift into anything. See, either we decide to take care of ourselves physically, or we decide not to. Either I decide today I will make good choices that will benefit me physically, or I decide today I will give no consideration to my physical life. I decide what I'm going to eat today. I decide the physical activity that I will do or won't do today. Tonight we're going to talk about five decisions that we can make together this week that will impact our physical lives, and as a result will impact our spiritual lives as well. So number one, if you're taking notes, write this down: a fresh commitment to a healthy eating pattern. A fresh commitment to a healthy eating pattern. Now, I recognize the challenge of this, that it's so much easier to say we need to eat healthy than it is to actually do it. According to a 2012 study, 52% of Americans believe doing their taxes is easier than figuring out how to eat healthy. And I'm 32 years old, and I still have a hard time understanding taxes. It's like, where does money come from? How does it work? I don't know. Here, government, take this. Aren't you glad I'm not preaching on finances tonight? It's no secret that our physical health is affected by what we choose to eat. And as a nation, we don't tend to make great choices here. Studies tell us 1/3 of all American adults is obese. 1/4 of our children are obese. Today's children will be the first generation to have a shorter life expectancy than their parents. And so much of this has to do with our diets. It's so easy to choose a fast food meal over cooking for ourselves, isn't it? I can easily find myself being so lazy, I will get up off of my couch, walk to my car, and drive to In-N-Out instead of getting up and walking to my kitchen to make myself something to eat with fresh ingredients. And I'm not alone in this. Maybe I am. I doubt I'm alone in this room. Half of Americans eat fast food weekly. Here's a simple principle we can use when it comes to the type of food that we eat. If it's handed to you from a window while you're sitting in your car, it's not a good food choice, okay? The struggle is real with this, so I'm not going to lie, you guys. This is so stupid. I knew I was going to preach on this tonight. Today we were on our way to life group. It was raining. We were late. We had Austin with us. We didn't have time for lunch. I drove through McDonald's today, Fusion. Can I just confess that to you right now? But I skipped the soda because I knew I needed to be healthy for this. Aren't you inspired right now, Fusion? Small, yeah, small things. Small French fry, not the big French fry. We find that a diet made up of fresh, non-processed fruits, vegetables, and lean meats, it results in things that you guys all know about: weight reduction and a lowered risk of heart disease, diabetes, high blood pressure, strokes, even some forms of cancer that are related to obesity. Listen, you wouldn't put low-grade fuel in a Ferrari. Now, your body may not be a Ferrari right now. You might be driving a hatchback Pinto today. But if you begin to put the fuel of a Ferrari into your body, you'll be amazed at how your Pinto begins to perform more and more like a sports car. You're not going to wake up a Ferrari tomorrow, but you'll begin to feel the effects of that high quality fuel. Now remember, we're talking about small choices that will make a big difference in our lives. No one's expecting, as I already shared from my day today, no one's expecting to suddenly wake up and have a brand new diet overnight. We're still going to find ourselves eating foods that we enjoy. In fact, when I was writing this sermon this very week, I was typing this point in the morning, and Blake, my wife, texted me, and it was one word, and it was that magic word, tacos. And I was like, babe, I'm writing a sermon on eating well and being healthy and making healthy choices. I can't just go get tacos. To which she replied, when your 8.5-month pregnant wife wants tacos, getting tacos is a healthy choice. So we went to Olvera Street and we had tacos and they were so good. But let's decide to practice a healthy eating pattern together. Number two, exercise. Exercise. Alongside with what you choose to eat, exercise is the best choice you can make for physical wellness. Here's the research. Here's what it says. Exercise increases energy levels, elevates metabolism rates, improves blood circulation, strengthens muscles and bones, decreases blood pressure, reduces stress, increases efficiency of digestion systems, develops aerobic capacity, improves sleep, and increases sexuality. All the married couples are like, we're going for a jog tonight. All you single people, sit your butt down. Now, this all sounds great, but how many of you are like me and you have tried and tried to make exercise a daily practice for your lives, but have found yourself just falling off the wagon time and time again? Here's some tips that I have found to be helpful to maintain exercise in your life. Get a partner. Get a partner. And make it a mean one, right? Somebody who will say, I'll help you, and you help me, and we'll both get what we keep saying we want in our lives. I recently joined a fitness challenge with a group of guys from here at CA, primarily made up of our leaders and some of our students from our student ministries. And it's a team-based challenge where we have partners who we're working out with. Levi Walker is my partner in this workout challenge. Now, why did I make Levi my partner, you might ask? Well, because this summer, I competed in a workout challenge against Levi and his brother, Jake Walker. And you might say, Bo, that's not even fair. Like, you should have at least given them a chance to win, right? I didn't win. I came in third out of three. But Levi and I are partners in this workout challenge, and we text each other daily when we complete our workouts. Knowing that Levi is going to be checking to see if I worked out, it helps me get off of my lazy butt and actually accomplish my workout. In Ecclesiastes chapter 4, it says this: two people are better off than one, for they can help each other succeed. If one person falls, the other one can reach out and help. But someone who falls alone is in real trouble. Likewise, two people lying close together can keep each other warm. But how can one be warm alone? A person standing alone can be attacked, but not after working out. No, a person standing alone can be attacked and defeated. But two can stand back to back and conquer. Three are even better, for a triple braided cord is not easily broken. So get a workout partner and somebody who's not going to let you off the hook. The next thing, choose exercises that you enjoy. Listen, Fusion, I hate running. I don't enjoy it. The best part of going for a run for me is when it's over. So running will never be the primary way that I get in shape. But find something that you enjoy, and you'll find that you're going to be more consistent with it. Next, schedule physical activity. Listen, rarely do I find time to work out, but I can make time to work out. You always have time for your priorities. And when it comes to working out, I need a plan. I need a daily plan. Before I begin, I need to know, what am I going to be doing in this exercise? How many sets, how many reps, all of that. If I don't have a plan, I tend to wander around and accomplish nothing. And know there's small things you can do exercise-wise to improve your physical life. Take the stairs instead of the escalator or the elevator. Go on a short walk during your lunch break. During the commercial, while you're watching your show at night, don't fast forward. Instead, get up, knock out 5 or 10 push-ups before the show comes back on. On the next commercial break, do 10 or 15 squats. Find small ways to get physical activity built into your life. Building a pattern of daily exercise and activity will drastically improve your physical health. Number three, have a healthy rest pattern. Have a healthy rest pattern. Our bodies, they were not made to go, go, go all the time. Yet sleep deprivation in America has grown to epidemic proportions. 30% of adults get less sleep than we need each night. Only 31% of teens reported that they get enough sleep on school nights. We struggle to sleep because of late night TV, because of the internet, especially on our phones. Anybody else like me with this? With the food that we eat and drink also plays a role in this. Big meals and too much caffeine, they cause us to miss the rest that we need. I mean, our phones have become such an issue for us at night that tech companies created a feature on our phones to limit a certain kind of light so that our brains can be tricked into going to sleep while we lay in bed staring at them for hours and hours. Isn't that kind of the tech companies to help us trick our brains into going to sleep? What if we just decided to not stare at our phones while we lay in bed? What if we read a chapter of a book and then went to sleep instead? Of people who sleep less than 7 hours a night, 38% report unintentionally falling asleep during the day, and nearly 5% report falling asleep while at the wheel of their cars, reporting in 1,550 fatalities and 40,000 non-fatal injuries in the U.S. every day, falling asleep at the wheel. Rest is vital to our physical health, which in turn is vital to our spiritual health. And God knew this, so he made rest not a suggestion, but a command for us. Exodus chapter 20, he says this, remember to observe the Sabbath day by keeping it holy. You have 6 days each week to work for your ordinary work, and then you rest. God tells us, take one full day off a week from all work. If you work 7 days a week, you're not only cheating your body, but you're sinning. Rest on a weekly rhythm and rest on a daily rhythm. Some tips to help you rest better at night. Go to bed and wake up at the same time each day. Avoid eating big meals right before going to sleep, and avoid caffeine and alcohol right before going to bed because they won't help. Rest is vital. It's harming our bodies not getting enough rest, causing us to age faster and to miss out on all that God has for our lives. Number 4, commit to reduce stress levels. Commit to reduce stress levels. Now, this is a tough one because it goes against what so many of us think we need to do in order to be a success, right? We sacrifice our own health and the health of our families, not because it's required of us, but because we've become addicted to the constant adrenaline rush that comes through high-stress situations in our lives. We were designed to respond to a stressful situation. When we're faced with a challenge, our bodies, they release chemicals. We think clear. We act more decisively. We respond to that situation. That's God designed in us. But then we were supposed to have a rest period where our bodies and our brains recover. Well, we don't really get that when we go from one stressful situation to the next in our lives. Some of us lead stressful jobs where we go from one stressful thing to the next. And we never really leave it at work, do we? Because our email follows us home. We get text 7 days a week about work issues. And none of this includes stress that might be at home. How many of you know the greatest causer of stress in your life is people, right? Roommates, spouses, kids. So we work stressful jobs that follow us home through our cell phones. And our homes can at times be stressful places. And we wonder why we feel drained physically, emotionally, and spiritually. Fusion, we must learn to manage stress and eliminate unneeded stress from our lives. And it may mean making really hard decisions, like leaving a certain job because of what it's doing to you, or saying no to a promotion because you know of the stress it's going to add in your life. Other things can be a little bit easier to deal in our lives. I'm amazed at how the TV brings stress into my life. I can find myself at home feeling stressed, not being kind to Blake, ignoring my daughter Austin, yet as soon as I turn off the TV and it gets quiet, my stress level lowers. And when we sit around the table together for dinner and we share a meal with no phones and no TV in sight and we talk to each other, my stress level lowers. So find ways to eliminate what brings stress into your lives. Fifth and finally, regular physical checkups. Regular physical checkups. Now, if you had an airplane, you don't choose whether or not you get regular inspections on it, right? There are federal regulations requiring you to have your plane inspected. If you miss one, the FAA is going to ground your plane and hit you with some heavy fines. And how many times have those inspections found something wrong with a mechanical part that's so much better found on the ground than at 30,000 feet filled with people? Lives have been saved through regular inspections. We must commit to having our bodies checked up by a doctor regularly. And this is something that I struggle with. I don't like going to the doctor. I think that there's lots of reasons why a lot of us don't like going to the doctor, right? We're stubborn. We just don't want to do it. We're afraid, right? We say things like, well, I'm afraid they're going to find something, which is the point of it, by the way, so they find that thing. And people carry sickness and disease with them without ever knowing it, when a simple, regular trip to the doctor could have revealed the issue long before it became life-threatening. If we were airplanes, we'd be required by law to do this. But instead of being required by law, we have a God who says, I created and designed your bodies, and then I redeemed them. Now you take care of them. And getting yourself checked out by a doctor is one of those things. If you can't think of your last physical, your homework this week is to schedule your physical. And listen, I get it. I get it. Making your own doctor's appointments is part of adulting, and none of us enjoy it. I get it. I'm 32, and I am terrible at making my own doctor's appointments. But I can't remember the last time I had one, so I will be calling and scheduling an appointment this week. I didn't do it yet because I wanted to be able to say that tonight to you. So this week, I'm calling to make my appointment. If you can't remember yours, you need to as well. Tommy, will you join me up here? I'll be closing in a moment. One note that I want to make to any parents in the room, especially parents of younger children. My daughter just turned one. My son will be here very soon. Parents, our children will learn to take care of their bodies from how we take care of ours. The way that we eat, exercise, and rest will be their building blocks for how they take care of themselves physically. And if left to themselves, children will eat French fries daily and will stay up all night watching TV and will never go to the doctor, which, to be honest, if left to myself, sounds a lot like me as well. But let's teach our children that our bodies were given to us as a gift from God, and He wants us to take care of them. Fusion, let's not miss anything God has for us because our bodies fail us due to poor maintenance. How many years are lost in people's lives because they don't take care of their bodies? How many kingdom opportunities have been missed because we don't have the energy for them due to poor diet and lack of exercise and rest? If our physical bodies are truly connected to our spiritual lives, then let's make some changes to them this week so we can be healthy in both. Who's with me in this?